Welcome to another installment of 91 Weeks of Transformation. This is Pastor Rock Dilleman, lead pastor at ACAC. This week, our readings come from the New Testament, the book of Acts, and three other New Testament epistles. We start in Acts chapter 8. And there we learn that part of God's transforming work in our life will involve us being called by God to do things that we don't initially understand. Let me explain. Philip was preaching in Samaria. Many were coming to Christ. But then we read, beginning in verse 26, that God came to him and said, "Leave this successful work that you're doing. Go south on the road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza toward the desert." And that's all God told him. But he rose and went. Now, we know and would find out quickly why God sent him south toward the desert. There was an Ethiopian eunuch there who was reading the book of Isaiah, searching for God, but he couldn't understand what he was reading. And Philip would quickly explain things to him, and he would become a believer, a follower of Jesus, and take the gospel into Africa. It was a strategic encounter ordered by the Spirit of God, but it started with an unusual instruction. Leave the successful ministry you're in and just get on the road that goes south, and you'll learn more as you go. You should always be open for God to call you to do things that initially appear unusual, things that you do not understand. The willingness to do those things is a part of your transformation. And a second principle from this story, when you have questions, God will send you a guide. God wants to answer your questions. God wants to address your lack of understanding. He has a lot of people he can call on, and he will send you a guide. In chapter 9, we read about the dramatic conversion of Saul. And there we read about a man named Ananias, who was instructed to go lay hands on Saul and be a part of what God was doing in Saul's life. He was initially reluctant. Wouldn't you be? He knew Saul had been persecuting believers. But God assured him it would be all right. And the principle is, in transformation, there will be times when you'll need to move past and through your fears if you're going to discover the next thing that God has for you. Later in that 9th chapter, we encounter Barnabas again. And as I said the first time we encountered him, everywhere we read about him in the book of Acts, he's encouraging. Here, he encouraged Saul, who was being rejected by the church. They were suspicious of him. They thought his conversion was bogus, and he was just seeking to find out where believers were so that he could persecute them. But Barnabas recognized his conversion was real, and he advocated for him. And so I would remind you that God not only wants to transform you for your own blessing, but God wants you to be an encourager of those who are struggling, an encourager of those who are struggling to be accepted. God wants to make you an encourager. Now, you may not have it as your primary gift, but we all have it as an essential calling. Well, in chapter 10, we're introduced to a theme that would continue throughout the book of Acts. God wants to transform the way we look at people who are different than us, and especially those whom we assume are our enemies or people we need to avoid. It begins subtly. In chapter 10, we read Peter was staying with a tanner, somebody who took animal hides and tanned them so that they could be used to make clothing, bags, etc. He was lodging with a tanner by the name of Simon. Now, in Jewish culture, for a host of reasons, people who worked with animal hides were considered ceremonially unclean. Peter knew that, but here he was staying with him. Baby steps. Simon was a fellow Jew, but he was considered unclean. But Peter stayed with him. God was beginning to change the way Peter saw people. But the big changes were coming. After that well-known vision of a sheet holding many kinds of animals, God called Peter to go to a Roman centurion and share the gospel with him. He recounted how he had grown up knowing it was unlawful for a Jew to associate with or visit anyone of another nation. He had grown up being taught to despise Gentiles. And Cornelius was one of the hated Romans, one of the oppressors. But Peter went. Now, God had to give him a vision, but Peter went. And he came to the understanding in verse 34 that God doesn't show partiality. I want to remind you that one of the toughest areas to experience transformation is in the area of how we look at people who are different than us, people we've always been taught to be suspicious of, or people whom we think of as the enemy. And I'll let you flesh that out in your own mind, but we can hold ill will towards people who we believe are our political enemies, our cultural enemies, our spiritual enemies, our economic enemies. It's very easy for us to categorize some people as them and to see them negatively. But God is no respecter of persons. He desires all to come to repentance, and our transformation requires a change in how we view people that we have historically suspected, feared, or even resented. Well, Peter went and reported to the church what God was doing. He had to defend his obedience to God. And part of your transformation may require you to defend your obedience to God. You might think, why would I ever have to defend my obedience to God's people? Well, let me tell you from experience, you will at times have to defend your obedience even to God's people. And the reason is God may call you to do something that lies outside their previous understanding of God's kingdom. And I would suggest the more you're transformed, the more likely it is God will call you to do something that lies outside other believers' understanding of his kingdom. The deeper you go with the Lord, the more often you'll probably have to defend your behavior, your thinking, and your words to other believers. Chapter 12, we read that James, the brother of John, was killed. But as we went on in the marvelous story, Peter was miraculously liberated. And that simply reminds us that we should never attempt to duplicate somebody else's testimony. Peter was delivered. James was executed. Both of them were disciples. Both of them obeyed Jesus. Both of them loved Jesus. Both of them were doing what they were supposed to do. But one was executed, one was delivered. There's no indication that Peter was delivered because he had greater faith. The reality is, when his deliverance came, he was shocked. There's no indication James was executed because he lacked faith. He did not. We will never fully understand the differing assignments God gives to His saints, but we should never try to make our experience of God conform to or line up with somebody else's experience. That'll get you into trouble every time. Let God be God in your life. Let God be God in somebody else's life. The principles of His Word are the same in both. His application of those things will differ from one believer to another. Now we skip to the book of Galatians, where Paul himself recounts his conversion experience. And the one thing I want to point out to you is in chapter 1, verse 18. Paul said, "After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem." 3 years after he was converted. 3 years after God opened his eyes. 3 years after he was commissioned to preach to the Gentiles. He began to do what God called him to do. 3 years later. He went away into Arabia, returned again to Damascus. Those are commonly referred to as the three silent years in Paul's life, because we don't have any details as to what God was doing in him during those 3 years. Some have referred to that as Paul's time in God's seminary, because most seminary programs are 3 years long. Whatever God was doing, here's the principle. There will be times in your life when God will be preparing you for a bigger assignment. And the time spent in preparation is not time lost. It is part of the assignment. God was obviously teaching Paul things that he would very much need as he embarked upon ministry. So when God takes you aside for a while, when it feels like he's put you back in school and taken you off the front lines, don't fret. God's getting you ready to go back to the front lines, but to go back more effectively. Maybe your axe needs sharpened. Let me explain. If you've ever used an axe to cut down a tree, you know after a while, the axe head gets dull. At that point, you can keep chopping away, but you're going to work much harder for the same results. Instead of chopping away, you can stop chopping, go sharpen the axe head, and you'll quickly surpass what you would have done if you had just kept hacking away. If God calls you out of chopping for a while to sharpen your axe head, that's not time lost. You'll accomplish more for God in the end. Then we go to the book of Philippians. And there our reading included Paul's testimony about how he considered everything he did prior to coming to faith as worthless. Worthless. And the takeaway is that God calls us to recognize and confess the junk in our lives. All of us, as we begin our transformation process, bring a lot of junk with us. Our transformation begins with God helping us to identify that junk and then renounce it and put it behind us. But it begins with identifying. And Paul was able to testify God had helped him to see that the things he had once highly valued and sought after were worthless, worthless. We sometimes don't want to recognize our junk because we're so heavily invested in it. But if you're going to experience the transformation God wants for you, you're going to have to be willing to say, it was a waste of time. It was a waste of energy. I can't get the moments back, but I can make the moments I have left far more strategic. Our final readings this week come from the letter to James. And I want to say something right at the beginning. If the only book you ever read was the book of James, you would be inclined to think we're saved by works rather than by faith. But you have to understand the audience that James was writing to. James was writing to folks who thought as long as they believed the right stuff, they were right with God. He wanted to help them see that faith in God is more than just an intellectual exercise. It's more than just knowing facts and accepting those facts. Faith involves doing something. Let me explain it this way. If you've ever raised teenagers, you know that within the same week, you might say to your teenager, you're too old for that. And you're too young for that. Well, which is it? And you would answer both. If it's taking the car all evening and returning at 2 a.m., you're too young for that. If it's acting irresponsibly and not taking your dishes to the sink after dinner, it's, you're too old for that. You see, it's the situation you're addressing that explains the words you use. James was addressing people who were attempting to make faith purely intellectual. So, of course, he stressed works. In other places, the Apostle Paul addressed people who thought it was all about doing no matter what you believed. So he stressed faith. So you always have to consider the audience. One other thing about the faith and works. We know from what Jesus said in John 6:29 that the work God wants us to do is to believe in Jesus. A group of people once asked Jesus, what works should we do to the works of God? And he said, that work God wants of you is to believe in me. So it's not faith or works, it's a faith that works. And the primary work is believing on Jesus and then living a life that aligns with your belief in Jesus. Now, the transformation takeaways. James reminds us that God allows us to endure various trials because the testing of our faith produces endurance. Let me remind you again of something I said last weekend in the pulpit. When God allows you to be tested, it's not so that He can discover what's in your heart. He knows that already. It's so that you can discover what is in your heart, so that you can recognize the junk that you've brought with you into the kingdom. Then we read that well-known portion that begins in chapter 1, verse 22. Don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. Transformation does not come from hearing the word alone. You can listen to the word of God being taught. You can read it for yourself hour after hour after hour and experience very little transformation. Now, you won't be transformed without the word, but the word alone won't transform you. You have to first hear it and then You have to do it. In chapter 2, we encounter once again that matter of how you look at people and how you treat people. This time, it's on an economic basis, because James told his fellow believers, you need to stop showing partiality to wealthy people and dissing the poor people, because God is no respecter of persons. So, a lot of emphasis this week on the way we look at people, identifying the things in us that need to change. Those and many other exciting things are things God wants to teach you. He'll send coaches to answer your questions. He'll call you to do some unusual things. He'll require you to move past and through your fears. But he who began a good work in you will complete it. Have an awesome week as you follow him.